Well, colleagues, I think we should start those members who are not yet here are going to find us in the budget. Morning, honorable members, Deputy Minister Mchive, I think we almost 15 minutes late. I see members are still making their way through. They will find us here. Welcome to everyone. I think this is one of the most important processes of Parliament, that we look at the performance of the department together with the entities, and the assessment that we are doing is for the performance of the financial year 2013-2014. We have circulated a program, honourable members, for today. In plan our work, we will take a presentation by the Department of Telecommunications and Postal Services that is reporting on the annual report of UNC, and then we'll take the presentation from Centec, the very domain, IGAMBA. After lunch, we had planned to start with USASA, and then we'll go to CETA, and then go to We will not take the presentation for USASA, just explaining in detail. And members, just to indicate that in terms of the processes and our work, we were expected as well to deal with the annual report of the cost of this. I'm not so sure if members have seen the letter that has been published by the Speaker of Parliament, received from the Minister of Telecommunications and Postal Services, Minister Toilet, requesting that he is unable to table the annual report and the financial performance of SAPO, as expected by the PFMA, Section 55, Section 55, Section 2A of the PFMA Act, that requires that all departments and entities need to present the annual report by the 30th of September each year. So this financial year, SAPO failed to table its annual report and its financial statements. In terms of the law, it is a requirement that all entities do that when they say the letter is published, requests for a postponement, and can never request for an extension for non-changing. So we'll definitely still continue to engage with the minister, because should SAPO not table, it has serious consequences. What it simply means is that the committee will not have an opinion on the financial matters of SAPO. Because if you understand the procedure, is that when Treasury looks at their cycle, starts the budget cycle in November, they take consideration of what the committee has recommended. Either the committee would recommend for more money or recommend for less money for the department or an entity. And when the committee, and when the committee, we do the work on behalf of Parliament, and obviously, when we express a particular opinion, that opinion is likely to be expressed by the National Assembly. And it means the consequence to SAPO's JGM, it means in their financial status, they do not have our support in terms of requesting for them to be bailed out or to be saved. Because we are unable to do that without any report before us. So it's even worse for SAPO. But I think what we have done as the committee members, we scheduled a particular date, I think it's the 31st of October, next week, to specifically deal with SAPO and look at all the challenges that are there, go into detail, and therefore from there we'll explain whether they have tabled an annual report or not. It's in the interest of the public and in the interest of Parliament for us to understand the status in SAPO and have a clear understanding of what is going on. Now, coming to, and that's the status with South African Post Office. Coming to USASA, USASA, yesterday afternoon, I think around 5, I received a call from, if I'm not mistaken, the secretary of the chairperson of the board of USASA, indicating that the chairperson of the board is not able to come to the meeting, but as well as the accounting officer. And in that regard, members, if you do not have both people who are executive authority, who is the executive authority and the board chairperson of the oversight board, not present, neither of them here, it is unfortunate, and I thought that there is no need for us to really listen because it doesn't help. If there is no one who is going to be able to take that presentation and take the responsibility of accounting to Parliament and being able to tell us what are the plans and what are the plans with an authority, I don't think it's worth it. It's just a waste of our time. And therefore, I'm told that informed Mpanza that if their CEO and their board chairperson is not here, they should not be bothered. They will not be taken. And I'm doing this precisely because it has to be understood. The process is very important. If entities do not understand the importance of this, as required by the law, because PFM is very clear, you can use the report and be asked to come before Parliament, to appear before Parliament, and explain your presentation or your annual report and account to the Parliament. We are unable to really, if the entity's leadership do not see it fit and important for them to prioritize accounting as per the law, therefore, would not even bother listening to anyone else, because it might as well ask administrators, assistant directors to come and account when everything is not here. Especially on annual reports, you can make provision for other times when there are other presentations, but not on annual reports and not on accounting time. Because this is specifically, that's why the annual reports are signed off by the accounting officer. And therefore, it is the accounting officer that needs to appear before Parliament and account to Parliament in terms of the problem of that agency. So we will definitely have on Friday just to express how we have inserted our opinion. Because what it simply means is that we do not support any increase of money to that disaster because we do not have the basis for that, including staff. So I'm just alerting this that so that more people should understand the consequences of not responding and respecting the work of Parliament.
Chair, I would like to know what reason you sort of gave for not coming today.
The explanation is that both the chairperson of the board and the CEO are abroad. They are on an IT conference. And I know all the entities which are here, if I could have been in the conference, including myself, by the way. Myself as the chairperson could have been there. We've decided that this process is important. That's something I do not take the excuse. It's not taken, it's not accepted. That's why we have treated it. Thank you. Then, another week.
Thank you, sir. Consistent. When did you get information that the apology?
The apology was not in a written apology, unfortunately. I think that was meant to show its regard of talent and its processes. I received a call from an administrator. I think it's the secretary to the board, Chatterton. Neither the board nor the CEO has bothered to write to me, inform me about that. So that's why I just thought that it's just a disregard of Parliament and its processes, and that's why I will take the approach. Let's move on. I think that's something on Friday when we do our report as a committee, we'll deal with the mention, have expressed our opinion on this aspect. Members, as I said, that we are going to do with a presentation of the department. We'll give the entity the department to present, then we'll take questions later. Again, in that form, the presenters need to know that the annual report has been circulated. I think the only annual report that I need to explain as well to members that was circulated late was the annual report of broadband in Vanco. It was circulated later. And this is because the minister is what has requested to table the annual report late. It was because Broadband Infraco was having their AGM last week. They had their AGM on the 14th, and because of the transfer, they then explained that because they were on the process of moving from the Department of Public Enterprise to telecoms, that's why the AGM had to be delayed. until the minister, head of communications, was given authority over the entity. And then they managed to hold their AGM last week on the 14th, and then managed to table last week, I think it was the Friday, the annual report, but that was circulated twice. It's yesterday morning, and then document was circulated to members. But I think all the other annual reports were circulated during time for members to go through. So I'm just asking, let's go into the critical areas, respond to what we need to highlight for members in terms of accounting. And then we'll also, because we'll grant them more time in terms of questions and answers and interaction, because that's what we've arrived for our recommendation. If you take a long time in presenting and members are left with a lot of questions that are not answered, you risk that by the time you do our report, our obligation remains our obligation without you having you all clarifying them. So that's why I want to alert you guys. Rather give more time for interaction so that whatever members are busy, you are able to clarify them properly. I think we'll start and then we'll allow the PM to read. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson of the Portfolio Committee on Telecommunications and Postal Services. Also, I'd like to acknowledge Honorable Members of the Portfolio Committee, our Director General, and all other officials of the department, also the executives and board members of the state-owned company present here, distinguished members of the public present, ladies and gentlemen. Chairperson, it's really an honor for us to appear before the committee to present the annual report of the department for the 2013-2014 financial year. You have alluded to some of the challenges during your opening remarks, like the position of one of our SOEs, the postal office. I wish to thank you and the committee then for allowing us the opportunity to explain ourselves with regard to some of the challenges we've had. As the ministry, we are committed to work with the committee to ensure that the strategic plan and annual performance targets are measurable and our people benefit from all the policies that we'll be discussing here today. We Chairperson, the National Development Plan places telecommunications in power with other priorities for economic growth, like energy, transport, issues of food security, and so on. So we are implementing one of our policies, the broadband policy, which whereby we must reach 100% penetration by 2020, and the NDP is a major master plan for the country to contribute to the 5% target set by government for economic growth. The NDP calls on government to develop ICT strategy and plan in order to stimulate sector growth and innovation by driving public and private ICT investments, especially in network upgrades and expansion, particularly in the broadband and development of applications and local content. In the last financial year, Chairperson, the department under the stewardship of our former Minister Eunice Garin established a framework for responding to the NDP priorities. The priorities for the previous financial year, amongst others, the ICT policy review, the broadband policy, broadcasting digital migration, radio frequency spectrum policy, and post-bank corporation. Honorable Chairperson and committee members, allow me to give highlights of the annual report. The ICT policy review, significant progress has been made on the ICT policy review, a process which must deliver a white paper on integrated ICT policy. A thorough research in the fields of broadcasting, telecommunications, e-commerce, and postal services was conducted. The research outcomes fed into the policy development. A green paper document was released for public consultation in December last year. currently a discussion paper is being drafted and will be released to the public for comment. With regard to the broadband policy, South Africa Connect was adopted by Cabinet in December last year, and it is expected that all stakeholders in the sector play their roles to realize the targets set by the policy. The monitoring mechanism for the four key strategic pillars of the broadband policy is through the Strategic Integrated Project 615 under the theme Expanding Access to Communication Technology. Legislative program, as members know, the department through to the committee four bills which were debated by the previous committee and adopted by Parliament. These bills are Post Bank Amendment Bill, South African Post Office Amendment Bill, Electronic Communications Amendment Bill, and ICASA Amendment Bill. All these bills were accepted by the President and their effective date has been proclaimed. And of course, I won't take too much time on the digital broadcasting migration policy, which has suffered some delays due to the adjustments that we all inherited at the start of the administration. I will now hand over to the Director General Chairperson to present the annual report with specifics in terms of targets and the AGS report. Thank you.
Deputy Minister, thank you very much, Honourable Chairperson, thank you. Can I be allowed to introduce the team from the Department and Notice, I guess, at DG and Department of Telecommunication Postal Services and Kemba?
Thanks, Mr. Chair. My name is Terma Fury, DG for IC Policy and Strategy in the Department.
Good morning, Chair, and honorable members. My name is Terma Fury, DG Administration.
Good morning, Honourable Chair, Honourable Members. My name is Malibu Pashelen. I am the Acting Deputy Director General for the Access and Research Branch. Thank you.
Good morning, Honourable Members. My name is Mosea Mfibula, briefly in the Acting Position on behalf of Chief Specialty for Internal Relations and Trade.
Good morning, Honourable Chair, Honourable Members. I am Jeff Yupele, the Chief Director of Human Resources.
Good morning, Chair and Honourable Members. My name is Grace Mukwana, Chief Director, Internet Police and Risk Management.
Good morning, Chairperson and Honourable Members. My name is Michael Chiba, Chief Director, SOE, Oversight.
Good morning, Honourable Members. My name is Nosti Semashanka, Chief Director, Telecommunication and IT.
Good morning, Chair, Honourable Members. My name is Andrew Hester from ICT Infrastructure Support.
Good morning, Honourable Chair and Honourable Members. My name is Leboga Mutima from the Office of the Deputy Minister.
Okay. Good morning, Honourable Chair and Honourable Members. This is Sahal Austin, the Chief of Strategic Planning and Monitoring.
Good morning, my name is Albert Motu, Chief Director and the Office of the Director General.
Thank you, Honourable Chairperson. Let me just note that there are three DDGs who are not able to come. Sponile Makoto, who is the DDG for SOC Oversight. There is an intermediary that is attending to with regard to the South African Post Office and get a meeting with the agency of NSFO, the Central Central of Agency in Pretoria. And with regard to DDG Sinyongong Gobeni and Gift Protect, they are currently in Korea with Minister attending the International Communication Union Conference. Honourable members and Honourable Chairperson and Deputy Minister, thank you very much. Maybe just to take you briefly with regard to the presentation, I'll try to summarize that because Deputy Minister has already spoken to a number of issues. Maybe as a note, Honourable Chairperson, when we were printing the annual report, there was a printing error on page 106, I think it's page 106 and 105 and 106, which was as a result of the error is from the printer. They've given us a page. They will be reprinting the annual report at their own cost. We have the related page, page 105 and 106 of the annual report. I think it's maybe the signature page that was cut off from the audit committee. But we'll then resubmit the correct printed
record. Saying
106,
105
and 106.
105,
yes.
What is the change?
I think the mistake is on the
I don't
see
what
you are
in
the
amendment.
that's what is being corrected. So I will settle.
Is that the e-strategy framework was developed in line with the Electronic Communication and Transmission Act
Lastly, on that side is the application for the banking license was submitted to the Register of Banks. Moving on to slide number 7, as an under-achievement, is on the community broadcasting support facility. The draft community broadcasting support facility was developed and internally constructed. However, it could not be finalized as a strategy needed to include financial implications. What we are then doing in this financial year is that the department has finalized the draft, and the strategy is now ready for public consultation. Moving on to slide number 8, the Deputy Minister also spoke to the achievement with regard to the finalization of the broadband policy, which we refer to as South Africa Connect. The policy has got four critical pillars, that is the digital readiness, development, future and opportunity, and over and above that, as part of also moving forward with the implementation of the policy, was that we completed connecting 1,650 schools to the wide area network. On slide number 9, over and above that, what we also did in consultation with the regulator is that the national radio frequency plan was approved by the minister and gazetted by the authority or the regulator. And the national radio frequency plan incorporates the radio spectrum requirements for security services. And over and above that, the spectrum requirements for exclusive allocation of security services were compiled and also approved by the minister. On the broadcasting digitalization, the department reviewed the broadcasting digitalization policy largely with a view to make the use of set box control and non-mandatory. And with regard to the transmission network, CENTET has completed the rollout of the digital terrestrial coverage, which is about 84%. The balance will then be covered by DTH. Moving on to slide number 10, which is another achievement on cyber security. Although the National Cyber Security Council was appointed and the Virtual Cyber Security Hub was established, the department was unable to establish the Cyber Security Hub as planned. This was largely due to the reallocation of funds to other priorities. However, in terms of progress thus far, as an interim measure, the department has also commenced the process of operationalizing the Virtual Cyber Security Hub. The second underachievement for this program is on the broadcasting digital migration, where we were not able to achieve all 10 elements with regard to the broadcasting digital migration, particularly the rollout of the set-top boxes and also on the awareness. And maybe just to report with regard to this program in this financial year, we are awaiting the finalization of the policy. Moving on to slide number 11 as an achievement for ICT International Affairs Branch. With regard to the coordinating the implementation of the South African Development Studies ICT Infrastructure Plan, South Africa participated in the committee that developed a short-term action plan for the 18 projects which were adopted by the SADC ministers. The SADC Regional and National Integrated Broadband Infrastructure Project was the flagship project. Moving on to the third bullet on the same slide, and with regard to the Africa domain name, official approval was received for the Internet Corporation for assigned names and numbers, that is the ICANN, for the ZACR to operationalize the Africa. The signed agreement between the ZACR and ICANN took place on the 27th of March 2014. The next issue is that as a country we are advancing the South African position on the UPU, the Universal Postal Union Council, for Administration Committee on Strategy, as well as the Pan-African Postal Union Committee Strategy. Moving on to slide number 12, just to highlight key achievement on this program again, is that South Africa continued its role as the chair of the African Group for International Telecommunication Union, that is the ITU, in both the World Telecommunication Standardization Assembly, WTSA, and the World Conference on International Telecommunication, that is the WIPIT. Over and above that, South Africa is the first African country to host the ICTV testbed. This has provided an opportunity for CSIR to show the ICTV technology and to participate in the development of the global standard in this area. On the South-South relations, with regard to the BRICS ICT program, South Africa drafted a position paper on the operationalization of cooperation on the BRICS cybersecurity, which was adopted on
we convened in the ministerial meeting in Russia, Moscow. Moving on to slide number 13, again on the Southwest relations, in terms of negotiating and developing two bilateral programs with countries of the South, the MOU between South Africa and Brazil, as well as South Africa and India, were negotiated and agreed with respective counterparts. The last issue on slide number 13 with regard to IT trade and investment is that an IT trade investment strategy together with the implementation plan were contacted with members of the economic cluster and approved for submission to cabinet. Moving on to slide number 15, just to summarize on the ICT SME program, is a training workshop on the small media micro enterprise e-commerce platforms were conducted with four provinces, that is in Limpopo, Northwest, Gauteng, and Eastern Cape. A total of 129 SMEs were capacitated on the use of the e-commerce platform, and their business profiles and offerings were uploaded on the platform. Sectors covered included travel, tourism, accommodation, and culture, and crafts. We want to slide number 16. With regard to this program, which is the Broadcasting Communication Regulation and Support Branch, SOP Oversight, the medium-term expenditure framework request for all entities were facilitated, and all SOPs participated in the medium-term expenditure committee action process, which was convened by the National Treasury. In order to ensure alignment and integration and integrated planning, all SOCs participated in the department's strategic planning workshop, while the department also participated in all SOCs planning workshops. Further, joint DOC, the department and SOC strategic workshops were also held. The SOCs quarterly reports were analyzed to determine the actual performance against plan targets, and further engagement with the executive management of SOCs departmental feedback was also provided. The last issue also on this slide number 16 is the submission of the unaudited financial statements to the external auditors was facilitated to all entities except the issue of the South African Post Office. As an underachievement on slide number 7, with regard to the implementation of the ICT SME program, the delays that we experienced with regard to the broadcasting digital migration also invested on this key target. Moving on to slide number 18, the second issue that also suffered a number of challenges was with regard to the BDM awareness. In an effort to bring about the public awareness on the broadcast digital migration, a media plan for the BDM awareness campaign was developed, and the BDM awareness process was implemented through numerous public events, media platforms, billboards, and all of that. The second target, also the question on the administration program, was the first time we concluded the migration of both the SMS and non-SMS, and key appointments were also undertaken. Moving on to slide number 19, a significant underachievement was with regard also to the BDM awareness. However, what we are then saying in this financial year, in an attempt to facilitate the awareness program, taking into consideration the limited resources available, the department has established a multi-stakeholder framework. This allows the department to leverage on the available resources of other stakeholders. Move on to slide number 20. Honorable Chairperson and members, can I then hand over to Sam to then present the financial performance and our response to the AG findings?
Honorable Chair, honorable members, I'll be giving a brief report on the financial performance. For the financial year 2013-14, the annual appropriation for the department was 2.3 billion. The honorable members would notice that there was a huge jump from 2012-2013 in that it was sitting at 1.6 billion. This was due to the adjustments that were made by National Treasury during the course of the financial year. One biggest among them being the money that was transferred to Telkom from the 2010 legacy project. In terms of the revenue, we had 1.7 billion, which was mainly the dividends from the Vodacom shareholding.
that then brought to this total revenue to 4 billion. And on the compensation of employees, we're sitting at 169 million, goods and services 589, bringing the total current expenditure to 759. In terms of the transfers and subsidies that we administered, it was 1.6 billion to the entities, and we spent about 2.6 million on assets, as well as about 72,000 on software. That then brought the total expenditure to about 2.3 billion. The fund surrender for the financial year 2013-14, it was 14 million, and the departmental revenue of 1.7 billion. That then brought the entire figure to 1.7 billion, which is what we surrendered to the fiscals. The next slide deals with the breakdown of the money allocated to programs, the first one being administration, international affairs and trade, ICT policy, SOC override, as well as infrastructure. The figures are quite self-explanatory, except that on program 2, the honorable members will notice that we have a minus there of 4.7 million. This is driven by the increasing cost on the international membership fees due to current situations. In fact, the situation that we are also sitting with in the current financial year, our costs of this membership fees seem to be spiraling out of control. On the current payments, once again, this is the breakdown of what was allocated. And this indicates that current payments were sitting at 758, transfers and subsidies 1.6, payment for capital assets 2.7, bringing the total figures to 2.3 billion. Slide 26 deals with the breakdown of what was transferred to the entities. These are also fairly straightforward figures to USASA, the USAF, both USAF as well as the entity. The biggest amounts have been the 240 million set-top boxes that transferred to ICASA and MISA. Also, once again, there was a slight adjustment to the transfer on CERNTEC. Then there was 6 million for AFCON, the SABC transfers on 27, China Africa 44. And the remaining in the digital migration project with the SAPC, community production, community registration of Vietnam, the ISAT-CICA, and as well as the International Telecommunications Union. Slide 28 deals with the details of the transfer to the international organization, being the UPU, being the ARTU, being the PAPU, Commonwealth, as well as Organization for Economic and Cultural Development, and this is where we have seen the money starting to be a little bit out of control. I'll pause there, Chairperson. Thank you.
Let's just to summarize our response with regard to the annual report, AG's internal rates by the AG. And just to summarize them, the first one is the payment of suppliers within 30 days, the human resource management, the IT, the supply chain management, governance, and then the expenditure. With regard to the payment of suppliers, the finding is on the 30-day payment of service providers. And the status is that we are currently implementing the way that we are acting in the better is on the issue of the internal control. Critical, which is always a reason what that is being put forward, is the issue, like for example, the banking details and all of this. So as an internal control measure, what we have done, what we put in place, is that the department is currently implementing invoice receipt register so that we can double check as we receive the invoices, but also monthly follow-ups on outstanding commitments, and also a follow-up on outstanding invoices that are done except exceptions with reports are submitted to the National Treasury. Moving on to the next slide, slide number 31, film of critical and funded vacancies.
The critical position voted for non-affirmative estimates have been identified and advertised. The current vacancy rate of funded positions is around 11.2%. I think we have about more than 10 positions on board the count, which we are currently waiting for the state security agency just to have to assist us with the pre-employment check and vetting. And we, I think the plan is that by in the next few weeks, the vacancy rate will definitely be below 10% at the rate that we are progressing with regard to recruitment. Moving on to slide number 32, verification and pre-screening of applicants. The pre-screening of all appointments are currently conducted through the assistance of the State Security Agency prior to our appointment. The next issue is also a critical audit finding, is the signing of the performance agreement. To date, two officials that do not have government agreement for the 14-15, disciplinary actions are underway with regard to acting or responding to the issue. Comparing to the last financial year, there were about seven officials that did not comply. Moving on to slide number 33, another critical issue for us is the appointment of the Chief Financial Officer. We are currently in the process of appointing a CFO. Moving on to slide number 34, with regard to the IT implementation of the disaster recovery plan, the GR infrastructure has been identified. We are doing this letter with assistance of the State Information Security Agency. Over and above that, what we are also doing with CETA is the updating of the aging IT infrastructure. Moving on to slide number 35, maybe before slide number 35, one key issue that has already been rectified on the IT side is the implementation of the password control to prevent us from being locked out. The appropriate antivirus software has been patched and installed. This was subsequently audited by the internal audit and the AG with no findings. On the SPL supply chain management slide number 35, the prevention and detection of irregular expenditure, compliance reviews are conducted on all transactions pre and post procurement to ensure that there is full compliance with policies and procedures of the department. Internal audits also conduct regular checks on compliance with the STM policies and procedures. On the review of the departmental policies and procedures, the Operations Committee, OPCOM, was established to review all the policies of the department. The OPCOM has reviewed key policies which have been approved in this financial year. Moving on to expenditure versus performance, all projects were posted and budgeted in the beginning of the financial year. The expenditure on projects are currently monitored on a monthly basis to ensure that funds are used in line with the allocation. Moving on to slide number 38, what we thought we would do, Honourable Chairperson and Member, is just to give a status report on some of the key issues that were being raised by the AG previously, which have been resolved by the department. The key one is on the management of leave. This is currently monitored to ensure that proper approval procedures are observed. AGR regularly conduct quality checks on all leave files to ensure compliance. Two audits on leave are conducted annually by internal audit and also by the human resource management unit. With regard to overtime, the overtime policy has been approved and a 30% threshold has been implemented on set funds. On the management of fixed assets, internal controls have been introduced to ensure that the department keeps an accurate and updated asset register. With regard to appointments made on unfunded positions, measures have been put in place to ensure that only the funded positions are advertised and filled. Lastly, with regard to targets that were not specific and measurable, the department has developed a technical indicator description for its 2013-14 APP. Going forward, the department has engaged further national treasurer so as to improve the technical indicator description for the 2014-15 APP and thus improving on the measurability of targets. Honourable Chairperson and Member, thank you very much.
Thank you very much to the Deputy Minister of Education and the team and the petition. I'm going to take members' comments and questions, I think.
just to make sure that we write to make your comments or submission together with questions in the process. I'm going to raise hands. Honorable Kilian, Honorable Shin.
First of all, I wanted to say I apologize. I am again today trying to juggle two committees, so I also have another responsibility meeting on the other side. Chairperson, first of all, I think I want to give credit to the department for having taken some steps to clean up the operation of the department. If I look at the previous years, etc., we can see that there is certainly commitment. But I would like to just pose some questions with regards to steps that they have taken and that may be inadequate. And if you will just allow me to do that. Chair, I have noticed what the DG has said about steps taken to address some of the shortcomings. I think, broadly speaking, I still don't have a sense that the department is driving the real critical broadband issue. I may be wrong, but it's all good and well, you know, we've had a revision of the broadband policy and all of that, but I think we need some urgency there because South Africa really needs to regain its position as leading the continent as far as those matters are concerned. But here, then, just back to management of the department, I can see there's huge appetite for international liaison, which is not in itself bad. I just feel that we need to stabilize the organization itself so that it can fulfill a meaningful international leadership role. And I am not 100% sure that we have achieved that status in the department. And I'm referring now to slide 31. If I look at the audit report by the AG, the Auditor General expressed some reservations. So it's good that we have an unqualified report, but it is with findings. And that means there is scope for improvement. I hear that we have only two performance agreement contracts that are not in place, and that there were seven last year, that is good, etc. But I think we really need to have some examples now, that there must be sanctions, and we must not stop pursuing. If some members then quit, please let us not let them go without due sanction. Members in the public service often leave to another department, and we can't allow that. The minute that disciplinary action is instituted, so please let us look at that. Then, if I read the issue about leadership, paragraph 22, it is not only a vacancy, right?
Yes. So that you check up on board, you must say whether you accept to the presentation of the annual report. I will keep it to the one of us.
I'm so sorry, Chairperson. I'm on page 142, leadership of the Auditor General Report, annual report. And I now want to refer also to 31, page 31 on the presentation. It is good that critical positions are filled. That is, there's no problem with that, because that will reduce the vacancy rate. I'm just concerned, if I read the Auditor General, it says inadequate leadership capacity. Now, that does not refer to a vacancy rate on its own. Is the department assessing the leadership development of all in senior positions? And what are you doing about that? Because I don't think we can really make sure that South Africa develops unless we develop management capacity further. So I have a concern about that. What is the department doing about that? Secondly, I want to go to the second slide, slide 32, which also refers to appointments. pre-screening of all appointments are currently conducted through the assistance of the State Security Agency Council appointment. But what is also interesting is that the South African Qualifications Authority on Friday reported to the Higher Education Committee that they were anticipating screening of current incumbents in departments, and they were in fact establishing the necessary capacity to screen all qualifications presented to the public service, but they did not have the uptake from the department. Now my question is, has the department engaged with the South African Qualifications Authority? If not, why not? Because they can be useful to ensure that the integrity of all qualifications of people in position. Chair, I want to conclude with that. Just the last issue, and that is internal control, lack of an internal control environment, management. That has unfortunately been one of those cancers that's been with the department. And we really now need to urge the department next year, please, we don't want to hear that and we don't want to see that in the AG report. It must be clean, completely clean. You have to have the right internal controls in place to stop issues with lack of adequate controls, lack of supply chain management. The department must lead. It's overseeing so many entities with a lot of money. You must lead by example. So please tighten up your supply chain management once and for all. Thank you.
No, thank you, also applaud the presentation, and I think some of the comments have been alluded to by Mohsin. However, I'll still hint on them. An issue of the internal control, that why was the contract agreement not signed, and who are those who did not sign? And on the presentation, slide 8, we have 1,650 schools which are connected. We always ask a question from time to time in the presentation as to the location of all the connectivities. We do this for purpose of oversight. We have to go there and assess in accordance to the presentation if we can accordingly. And also want to know if the connectivities in urban areas and rural areas, we have the authority as government for rural development. And also a question of why the digital law for the partner implement as advised by AG. It is so consistent in response that whenever they don't treatment, we really don't do as you have advised. And the issue of obligation in 30 days as well, and the president has come up with this one, that people should be obligated within 30 days. What is the problem with capacity or something else? And also on recruitment, what is the actual challenge in your recruitment strategy? It is really a number of concerns that we have all the plans that we are supposed to implement, but we are not convinced that they will be implemented tendency for the small capacity. We can have all these plans, but with the capacity, we cannot really implement them. And the other one, slide 10, on the cyber security, is also another crucial issue that we have to protect other issues. I mean, the challenges we have in the country about the IT system, really, I think this should have been one of the most priorities. What are the priorities that you have, taken consideration as expense of this cyber security? What are these projects that you are getting to? What you only say, other projects, you want to know what are they, I mean, what are these projects and how crucial are they as compared to the cyber security? For now, this is an outrage.
Okay, thanks for that. You have some few questions from the department. In page 42, the department says in achievement the target of digital communication. Where was this done? Because many South Africans have no clue what is this migration and implementation on them. especially in village people. Because we know that the prison itself, I know nothing about this negation. Because what the department says here an achievement. When also for this. On page 35, the department says that MOEs are invited to public training session, and again on page 37, the department says it monitors and attends to good governance, but trouble collapse in your hands. The department must justify why they have an unauthorized expenditure of 4.7 million due to exchange rates. How is this possible? The issue of four employees on suspension over 150 days that cost the department 1.7 million. Can the department explain on it? Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Chairperson. My questions stem only from the annual report. The question I have is on page 15, where you talk about under collection of what is supposed to over a million, 1.2 million. And most of that comes under stamp goods and services. And the explanation says under collection is due mainly to National Treasury Directive issued by to not recognize the costs as written in the financial statements. Can you please explain that to me? Then we have on page 20, fruitless and wasteful expenditure, an amount of 754,000 for that, of which 438,000. There's nearly half a million rand is written off. Can you please explain what that expense was and why it was written off? You talk also about your future plan, and you talk about the National Integrated ICT Bill will come before us soon. Yet there's no mention of the Electronic Transaction Act, which we talked about last week. That does not in the report. Is that happening? Because last week we didn't have any mention of National Integrated ICT Bill. So what legislation is actually being contest? Then we talk about on page 21, under the section broadband at the subhead. Department has focused on specific interventions such as conducting a study on the rationalization of the relevant ICT SOEs. Can you explain give us a bit more details to what that rationalization is intended? Does it involve broadband info and the shareholding of telecom? You know, what is the rationalization that is being contemplated there? And no doubt it was part of the new investigation to the department about the media plan, the digital migration media plan. I was keen to know what the message was. Normal transition will start sometimes, because it's obviously not happening. And obviously all the failed targets that sort of rambled on from that. The cyber security hub is something that I'm concerned. One of my colleagues has already talked about that. If we could have some details as to what is actually going on there. Because we were under the impression that we appointed of the Security Council late last year. We were expecting a little more progress there. Yes, I was also interested to see, and the students' government expenditure, this is willing sponsors, that the budget function it was held, sponsored generously by Cellcom, iBurst, Business Connections, Neotel, CellC, MultiChoice, came to 611,000 rand. That's half a million rand for a budget function. Now, you might say, well, this is a tax budget, I don't know who gives it in. But I don't know what the responses of this grandeur debate by taking in response to that. I mean, for example, Telcom alone paid 361,000 for the assumption. And there was lighting, obviously, and there was all sorts of entertainment. The entertainment bill generously paid for by multi-choice. 75,000 rand. Now, what kind of entertainment do you have at the thing? And really, should you be, at times when the costs of communication are so high, obviously, those clients are advertising expenses, and there's, there's a kind of excess, you shouldn't actually be condoning this kind of generosity, if you can put it that way, from key players who tend to benefit from your goodwill. Then I was pleased to see that other bills had gone down, but the 569,000 rand spent on overtime last year, most of that in highly in levels 6 and 8 and levels 9 and 12, but in amount of 569,000, that's half a million rand on overtime. Luckily, none of the senior guys did any overtime. Was it because you were busy off, or you're doing overtime for free? Because why? Can you please explain why so much overtime was necessary and painful? And I don't see any indication here of any bonuses paid or 13th check. Is that somewhere else? I couldn't find out what was done there. Then we
have a lady on the mission.
I didn't understand the employment and vacancies by program thing. Number of posts approved is 413. The number of posts filled is 33. So you have a vacancy rate of 19.4. But yet you say there are a number of employees additional to be established, which is 40. So I don't understand why you have additional employees if you still have posts vacant. Can you just please explain that to me?
The bonus is 126.
Thank you. Okay. So let's have a look at it. Is this a beneficiary performance or is that the other one? Yeah, I see that now. Yeah, what are these bonuses paid for? Can we please have some answers? What is it? It's average cost per employee 17,000 rand. Number of bonuses 333. I mean, how many people employ in the department? Okay, number of beneficiaries 130. So half your staff got performance bonuses. Why? And yeah. Thank you for that. Then I have on, this is the one I like. Page 131. Leave payouts for the period. Average per employee payout, 65 million rand. 65 million rand per employee. I know, I presume that's just a mistake. I'm sure it's meant to be 65,000. But you can actually have a look at it. It's 65 million bucks per employee. I want a job like this, like a leave payout of 65 million. Where does one apply? There was also, on page 173, a settlement agreement with the ex-employee, 425,000. Who was that employee and why would he pay so much money to exit the department? Then we have here a possible legal claim. This is page 212 of 833 million. So there are people who got claims to their amount against you. One of them alone is 804,000. What is that legal claim and what chance are you able to handle? Thank you.
Thank you very much, members. I think from my side, since you see, I don't have a problem with your contractions. And I'll tell you where the contractions are. On your slide, on your presentation, you say something else, or on your report, say something else. That is very problematic for me.
I'm not so sure what I'm accounting on. First contradiction. Slide 32 of your presentation and page 126 around the comments argument. That's the first sub-contradiction. And I'll come back to it in detail. Page 126 and slide 32. Those are the contradictions. Let me go into details of it. Because if you are to look at what the annual report says, DC, it only gives you 2% of your SMS that have signed performance agreements. That is supported by the age sources in terms of the auditor's annual report. Because when I gave the report, I asked them to quantify for me who has not signed the performance agreements, and they have. And I want you to clarify that for me, clearly. Who are the people who have not signed the performance agreement after the deadline? Because when we say performance, the application that you have submitted later than the deadline, and it's a statutory deadline, can you specify at least for me? I want to verify what I have from the GH's office and what we have, so that we can deal with that. That's why I have a problem because say on the presentation is only two. But the AG is recorded. That's the presentation. Then it comes to slide 31 and page 42. Those are the contradictions. So you're going to have to clarify. That's something. When you present to us, you can't afford the contradictions. The annual report can say something on your presentation to say something else. Because it becomes a problem for me. Then there's an issue that I need as well that you must really, once I get this, because we'll have to come back to that. Once you tell me which one is the actual facts, then I'll come to that issue. Section 77 of ECA, chapter 13, speaks about the establishment, it's a legislative requirement teaching of establishment of 1.2. It's not optional. You can't come to Parliament and tell us that you have cancelled and you don't tell us the plan. Because it's not optional, it's not your choice, it's a legal requirement. Then, within the same chapter of the ECA, chapter 18, teaching, you are given a mandate as the Director General to establish and manage a museum that depicts the evolution and the history of the communication and information communication sector in South Africa. And I can go to many other things that are reported. So I'm just saying, for me it's problematic that the department will not plan what the Act says you must do and will not account of it. And I'm raising this in support of what the AG says. Because for me, that comes to the point that has been raised by the Auditor General. In terms of the fact that the department has issues of making sure that they comply with the law. See, as a legislator, I cannot sit here and not reflect properly on that. Compliance with the law it's not an option, colleagues. It's a must. That's why within regulations and the law, you are given an option of diversion where it's possible and you must justify diversion. You can't go and break the law. It's wrong. So, and the other issue which I have a problem with is the department has been very selective in what it puts on the annual report on what they have accounted to the portfolio group. Because if you are to look at that page that you speak about the portfolio committee in the annual report, just trying to find, I think it's page 101 of the annual report. If I may ask, what informs the things that you have submitted? Because I've gone back to look at all the issues that have appeared before the portfolio committee on communication on during the financial year that we're coming to. What informs this election?
Why have you decided to omit other things that have been raised by the portfolio committee? Because this is a decision. Is it your choice that you say you are going to take the thing that makes us look good? Why the committee has asked you to account on you select not to accept them? For me, problematic. And I accept the politics when you started that. Do not treat this committee as a new committee. It's not. There is no new parliament. It's just a term of office. And that's why when parliament operates, we take what we call legacy reform. And every time we meet with you, you will go back to look at what you said before the portfolio committee or before parliament. And this is what we would raise with you. Because it's not correct that you come and give this issue. Did you say to us you have filled a critical position, but you do not have a CFO? And this financial means you do not have a CFO. Is not CFO critical for the department? My appeal to people that appear before this committee would rather deal with factual issues and honest presentation. Where you clearly say this is where we have the challenges, then we can help each other. Then we have a mechanism to say this is how we deal with what we have before us. But in this manner that we are doing, where we pick up the collect, because for me, where I'm sitting, it gives an impression that the department is not honest in their presentation. I don't know if I'm assuming, but if I will pick up that you say we have few critical positions, but I know you do not have a CFO, and in this one, particular financially, you do not have a CFO, then it's a problem. Then we come to the issue, I think one of my colleagues have raised it, the SOE unit. I was really wanting, because I don't agree with that they've achieved their target, because your annual report says you have achieved your target, unless I don't understand your target. You can't have a situation where the committee are continuously researching issues with entities. And you can't say you have achieved your target, because if I go back to look at what the committee has been raising on the SOE, it gives me an impression then that there have been challenges. And what we can it be that a unit is just established to coordinate, receive annual reports, pass it over? A unit with at the level of a CDC or C director. Because that then equally can have a brand administrator to say the class no responsibilities to take this report, pass it over. Then you say you have achieved your right. Because you have just passed to make sure that entity connects your annual report, your quarterly report, they are ready, yes, they are ready. Give us, then you shake them, you pass them over. We have done our work as an SOE unit. But as it stands and the current challenges, I don't think that's how it has been made. I'll have to be convinced otherwise. And indeed, I also trying to understand what the department is saying, not on a running mind, I think I'm missing one of them, but on a common domain speaks about the department says that they have unauthorized expenditure because of exchange rates. Honestly, let's look at what they've budgeted for against what you have spent. And if you ask, look, I am not good with the foreign currencies and all that. I went and looked at a particular financial year, the exchange rate between the rand, the dollar, the rand, and the euro. Because that's what we're talking about, exchange rate. How much it has fluctuated in terms of changes with what percentage. And when I looked at that, there is no way you would have had the change rate giving you a 4.7. What percentage are you talking about? Maybe it's clarifying. I've looked at the percentage, maybe I'm wrong, but give me the percentage, how much you budgeted for? Because where I'm sitting, what it looks like, I could be wrong here, but what it looks like is that a certain program was never budgeted for. International, not exchange rate. It was an unbudgeted activity that was undertaken. Here, with a 4.7 million. Not exchange rate. Then, we look at the financial performance of the department. When we look at the trend, from 11/12, the third quarter and the fourth quarter, obviously, you had from 5% and 56%, and then you moved 2012-2013, 55.99%, and then you moved 2013-2014, 83.99%. This is an improvement in terms of expenditure. It shows an upward trend, which is good. But it has to speak to your deliverables. You can't have an expenditure and deliverables that you don't think. That is what you see. Both if you are to look at the actual amount of GDP, it means you have understood. Because when you look at percentage, it gives you that you're doing good. But when you look at the amount, it's a bit worrying. It's 9.3 million that you have understood. Your report balance, you look at the amount, you look at that. I think honorable members have looked at the issue of the employees' performance. I think I'll wait for that one. Because I would have a problem with people, how do our performance bonuses when contracts have not been signed? I still have a concern, and maybe because it's an SAT environment, we have to check in. We have been, our government has been raising the issue of usage of consultants. I have to be convinced that it was absolutely necessary for the department to spend 44 million, roughly, almost 44 million, on consultants. I'd have to be convinced, and it needs to be justified to the committee, that it was absolutely necessary for you to spend that amount. You couldn't realize that. Then we come to the issue of the performance. In terms of your financial outcome from the Auditor General, I think it's progress because you've been able to improve over years from 09 to 10 financial year, 12 qualified, move to 10 to 11, and but if you look from 10 to 11, 11 to 12, 12 to 13, and 13 to 14, it's unqualified with findings, and these findings are consistent. And my concern is that it seems that you do not have internal mechanisms teaching to respond to what the aging raise. Because these are almost the same thing. Often in heaven, the aging raise issues of internal control, supply chain management, issues of vacancies and all that. And over the years, this is the same thing that the aging raise. That's why I would be skeptical of what you're responding now. Because this, when you look at what you've said previously as well in the committees, these are the same responses you've given. So I've got to be given, or the committee has to be given, more specific details to show that things are changing, that we're not sitting with the same analysis of the last time. That's why I can take you now. The financial years that are moving. And to say this are consistent measures that the age is rising. As we'll be able to do both. I think one of the has raised the issue of wasteful expenditure and the issue of vacancies One thing that I must add on the vision is that you must remember, public service regulation, note the regulation that is there on public service around the human vacancies, it speaks about 12 months. So you are assessed in terms of the post that is available to you in a particular time within 12 months. Because my sense is that if a department can sit with vacancies for more than 12 months and not fill them, it means you don't need those posts. Then give up them. The fact that you can survive for 12 months without those people means you don't need those posts. Then give up the money. You see, I don't think that the committee will support the situation when parliament supports the changing of money in a department when it's not utilized. We understand the economic climate, we understand the financial difficulties the country is in. We've got to utilize our money, all of us responsibly. And if it's not needed, let's do that. Otherwise, I think that if you need those posts, you fill them. The fact that you're surviving and going on it means what can be done? Because if you couldn't, you would have filled those positions. Then there's an issue, GM, coming from, and I think you'd assist us, because you were in the Department of Economic Development. SMME support and development. I find it strange, DC. You see, if you are to look at your presentation, for example, slide 17, I intend to ask the only program that supports SMME development in the Department of Communication was only on migration, BDM, nothing else. In all the work that we do, ICT, SMME, if we can't, so you see, for me, here, the problem here is that you have the head of the state say a particular message and give a particular direction, but we have departments that are not implementing the mandate. Because if the president says, these are my priorities, I want to create jobs, I want to diversify the industry, how do you do that when one of the critical departments reports to say that with regards to the implementation of ICT SME program, delays regarding the participation of SMEs in the BDM can be related to the delays in the implementation of the broader BDM of most. So, however, in terms of progress, that's why the department has commenced with this, this is overall SME, because the head needs to ask SME program, because where you are giving, I mean, those SMEs that you are going to find, the arts and culture, but they're not in the ICT field. When you talk about the agenda of transformation, SMME development assists us to transform the industry. If the lead department cannot find it in its own mind to ensure the critical and important area of transformation happens, then we have a crisis. So that's one of the areas that worries me more than anything else. Then,
I think I've touched on this other thing.
There's an issue from the AG. An IT driving department lacking IT capacity. Because it just is a huge contradiction. How do you drive the ICT of this country when yourself you have problems of IT? It says a lot about the department. It's a huge contradiction. Do you understand this? Because we as telecommunications, we are inheriting both. And the relation, honestly, This is not the teacher that we want to move forward with. There is a need for drastic shift from the department, and I'll tell you why I'm saying this. One is that the department seems to be all over. You have too many targets that are unachievable. You have set yourself up for failure, you are everywhere. That's my obligation. The department needs to go back to the drawing board, reprioritize your targets, list what is absolutely necessary for you to do, stop being all over, and achieve what you need to achieve. With this, you're going to be everywhere you do, 2% here, 2% there, 3% there, 5% there. You'll never have an area where you achieve your targets. Because if you look at all this area, your program is issue. You know, I mark them just to show. You start with program one. Everywhere, your first statement on the department has acknowledged its areas of underdevelopment. Every day. It's page 44 on program one. It's page 62 on, page 61 on program two. Page 71 on program 3. That's the first sentence, consistent teaching. In all the programs. Program 4, page 78. Oh, you see, in all the programs, none of the programs you've been able to achieve. And you can confidently say, we have achieved in this area. And where I sit in the analysis is that you have set yourself up for failure. You've put too many targets that are unrealistic for you to achieve. So every department needs to go back to the drawing board, set realistic targets. Look at what is, remember you are accountable for a year for this. 12 months. You can't just go 100 and something things in 12 months. It's practically impossible. Reprioritize, look at the policy, look at the act. Those are the most critical things that we must do and focus the department.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. I think the Chairperson is setting a tone, a clear message for our SOEs to know the rules of the game here. I still want that. Chairperson, I think we are really fully in agreement with regard to the approach that you are making out for all of us. I'll take the question in terms of SMEs. We are going for the strat plan as soon as possible, Chairperson. Clearly our understanding is that we will have to align our responsibility in line with a new growth path which sets clear targets of jobs. So we'll have to do that per sector. We look at EPAP policy and look at the two ICT, IDZ, which have been put aside for manufacturing, specifically in the area, within the area of ICT. And so the OEMs, when they come to the country, the obligation and from DTI is to make sure that they develop SMEs. So there's no dispute, Chairperson. Whatever we do, it will be in line with those economic policies. And also, as you are saying, SMEs, they are an improved version of our BE policies, because those policies tended to focus on shareholding for a few, but they are a critical, measurable transformation vehicle in terms of skilling and empowering large numbers from co-ops, incubating them to become independent small businesses and allowing them to join the system to fly. So I think the department won't really have a problem with that. That's one area which I thought I'm sure the chairperson, with regard to the question of the use of consultants, the department will be able to give you a clear indication. My assumption was that at a time when they were finalizing major policies, they had to draw from as many expertise as possible, but that they will be able to give the specifics. If there's a need, DG, is there any other area DG which you think I need to? Oh, thank you so much.
So just a question, sorry, my name is I'm looking at my notes now. The amount is 10.4 of the consultant GP. 44 was the previous financial year. 10.4.
Thank you, Honourable Chairperson, and thank you, Most Honourable Members. Honourable Chairperson, I really want to thank you for the tone, because my own assessment of the tone is that it's in the interest of the country that we get things going. All of us, we may be sitting in different sides of the coin, but what matters is making sure that we do move forward. So I think from our side, we've taken note of what the committee is saying, and we will definitely move forward. Like, for example, once I know that we're interacting recently on the issue of the internal control. In my standpoint, there was a debate whether they need to have an internal control function. And my own standpoint was that, as an example, when you appear that responsible to say, let me have internal control, you're basically saying that those who are in those positions where from day to day, they have to take decisions that do can compromise the department. It means that you're literally saying you're appointed in this role, but also the vendors have to ensure that you do due diligence. Then someone else might take the responsibility. And my only standpoint has always been, all of us, we are responsible for internal control, including myself. Whether it is an issue of appointment of an LPD or whatever, I need to ensure that in what I recommend to the minister, we've taken the rules. So those have been the discussions that we've been engaging on in the spirit of ensuring that we address all the issues that we have on the table, but also dealing with the issue also of the capacity. The second issue, Honourable Chairperson, that I wanted to address is also that we do take the committee definitely say that on things that are contradictions or that could be contradictions, let me just ask Head of HR, because I know that we spoke intensely on these issues of who has complied, who has not complied on the presentation versus the annual report in terms of the contradictions. Can you just deal with that?
Thank you, teacher. Thank you, Chair. Chairperson, the annual report was based on the 13-14 figures. The figures quoted in the presentation were actually for indicating what has happened in the 14-15 cycle. So currently we're sitting...
Wait a minute. What? You are accounting for 13-14 and you give a presentation on 14-15. That's what you're saying.
Ma'am, what I'm saying is that the 7 performance agreement, as indicated, unsigned was the 13-14 period. In the presentation, he supplemented that by indicating in the 14-15, the improvement has been where there's 2 outstanding performance agreements in the current year.
Okay, that goes back to your annual report. Show me where in your annual report where you talk about the government agreements identified.
I think that the issue that is in the annual report is performance agreement that was signed as in terms of the stipulated deadline, and after the period, the way people were not signed and the way follow-up done, and subsequently there were also rectification. I think that's the
not contradiction. You account on performance signed as per the law. As per the law. The law stipulates the deadline. And my understanding is that the 31st of May, June, 31st of May, that's my understanding of the law. 31st of May, you are accounting, because our responsibility as Parliament is to ensure that you comply with the law and the regulation. I'm saying to you, account to us as per the 31st of May in this financial year, in terms of the regulation and the law. how many people have not signed the performance agreement. Thank you. I'm following up this matter. It was part of the legacy report from the previous owner. This is what I reflect for us to follow up on. The answer, are there any responses why she's looking for the person to come back to us?
That's fine, Honourable Chairperson. I think let me just go back to the issue that was raised by Honourable Kilian. You know, we do agree that it's not only about appointment, but also the issue of the inadequate leadership capacity. So there is also a process and a way in terms of addressing the leadership capacity of those that we have already on board. But I think it will come in on the leadership development. With regard to the SACWA, what we do from a recruitment process is once we've identified possible candidates, we take their qualification to SACWA for verification. They will look at the qualification. Over and above that, we send forward the names of the candidate to the SSA. They will get criminal credit and SACWA. So it's a true process that is followed up. One of the issues that we've been dealing with recently is a disciplinary matter of a person who was appointed as a developer director, where we discovered that at the time when she was appointed, she had claimed that she had certain qualifications and she did not. What I did request at HR is that to avoid a scenario where you are reactive and only dealing with matters that are late, that we should rather just take everyone through a checking so that we know the people that we have in the department in terms of what they said on the CVs is exactly what they are presenting. But I think Kathy can talk to it when she comes in. On the issue of broadband, following the approval of the South Africa Connect, what we then did, because it was approved in December, we then started the process of developing a business case, which was then submitted to National Treasury end of July. National Treasury is the process of finalizing what they will be allocating to different departments. But from our interaction, the sense is that there will probably be allocation of money with regard to phase one of the broadband policy business case. We started the process of developing a second business case, which will be submitted next year, which will then deal with the broader budget that we will require for broadband. And over and above that, there has been a number of studies. There is a study currently underway on the open access that we are dealing with in this financial year. So there are a number of issues that we are dealing with regard to the implementation of the South Africa Connect in this financial year. So can I request that you deal with the financial issues, including the 2.4? And I think we can also deal with the appointment of the consultant on the 10.4 because some of you have to deal with the service providers we are going to go into the bill.
Thank you very much. Indeed, we had an expenditure in care specifically for studies which we conducted in relation to the ICT policy review. The international benchmark on the ICT policy review procedures is that you have to have country-standing reports. So the basis of the review was that in the area of telecommunications policy as developed since 1996 up to now, we assess the what is. And this involves interaction with specific companies. So, for instance, you look at everything, including the extent of the growth of that specific sector, the market growth, even figures that relate to the company's performance over time. Chairperson did, in fact, appoint these consultants to help us with that. This was to support the ICT policy review panel, which was appointed in January of 2013. And we think, Chairperson, it is fair in that you do not have contradictions about the status of the situation in the country and where the policy should go. So we're finding that was a very useful process. I could give an example, Chairperson, that in the area of broadcasting, for instance, we have leading countries that are migrating or who have completed migration,
But Africa is behind that, and some of the countries have begun to look at policy trajectories beyond the main issue of technology migration into new policy formulations, say for instance, content transmission, the permeation of internet, wherein the transmission of content is multi-platform fold, as opposed to where we are now. So these are the lessons we learn. In terms of telecommunications, for instance, there is a lessons we have learned from that, from those benchmarks, wherein we could understand that the convergence of technologies between the broadcasting, which was separate, and telecommunications traditional, is happening relatively faster than we think. You would have seen the trend of, for instance, the transactions about new companies coming together. These are market evolution already driven in many other countries have taken place. So these are the benefits of those kind of studies. The open access strategy that we have conducted, it is very difficult to make a policy decision, Chairperson, on some of the specific technology bans which have to inform where the country is going about broadband policy. Because there are lessons where we could learn from Australia, from Canada, from New Zealand, where certain models have worked and certain things have not really worked. So these amounts are in relation to the ICT policy review studies. Specifically, Chairperson, these studies were in the telecommunications market, we had a consultant there, the IT stroke e-commerce environment, which is largely an online transaction, online services market, where they started there, the broadcasting policy, we had the review study there. All of these reports, Chairperson, have been delivered to the department. Contact services market, which is also being left behind in terms of technology evolution, to learn what could be done, how can Costa benefit from broadband rollouts in the country. Those studies have been delivered. The department interrogated the studies, we helped them, and we understand the challenges we face in terms of the white paper that we need to deliver at the end of that process of the ICT policy review.
And honorable members, I'll deal with some of the financial issues, but I thought let me pose the issue of the performance agreement for 2013-14 to rest. I think the chair was correct that if you look at page number 126, I think it only fair to report to the committee the true reflection of what transpired. That we had 8 members of SMS. And only 40 of those members signed, with 46 had not signed for a variety of reasons, and as a result, disciplinary steps had to be instituted. So I thought that would just put some perspective to that matter. Honorable Shin raised a point on the under-collection, that is now on page 15 of the annual report, the 1.3. I would like to indicate that there was a directive issued by National Treasury, wherein we were not required, or in fact there was a requirement that we should not declare the revenue that we received from CASA in our books as income. So basically that was in line with the modified cash standard. So it was just basically a treasury regulation directive. That's why we reported the underachievement on the collections. The issue that we have raised on the 438,000 for the focus and I think it's important to indicate to the committee that what happens is that from time to time, and this is a matter that basically cuts across departments, you would run into instances where there are cases of fraudulent and wasteful expenditure that are detected. It could be no-shows, it could be people booking flights not showing up, it could be damaged cars, and so on. Now, what is happening is that there's a procedure in the department where in each and every case is investigated to check what led to the transaction process in wasteful. This is done in consultation with the Office of the Chief Legal Advisor, where an opinion is then provided to check if the employee was negligent or indeed the circumstances might have been beyond the control of a particular employee. All these cases that are written off, they are backed by different opinions. Now, there are instances, for example, where the department takes actions against employees
For example, where the employee found to be negligent, the money would be covered from that employee. But then you do also have very tricky instances where there is an amount, let's say, of 2,000 rands, where you have to pursue this matter legally, and you realize that you're going to spend about 10,000 rands just to take the matter through the legal processes. So economically, then it becomes a little bit tricky to justify spending 10,000 to share the 2,000 rands. So each of them cases is treated based on its merits, but they won't be a logical conclusion of all the cases in the form of legal opinions issued by the chief legal advisor. On the issue of the issue raised by Honorable Dongeni on the 4.7, how did we incur an authorized expenditure on international membership fees? If the Honorable Members and Honorable Chair could refer to page number 149 of the Annual Report, the committee will notice that there was a budget of 16 million allocated for international membership fees, but this budget was allocated as part of the allocation from National Treasury, which was 16 million. Now, because we have also experienced budget cuts during the year under review, we then exceeded 16 million by 4.7 million so that we could be able to honor the membership fees. Now, the unfortunate part is that because we are committed to...
So you are saying you had, I want you to be specific on that. You are saying to us you had a particular amount budgeted, which was below what you actually needed for membership fees. Can be specific, because the question is saying, you are saying the 4.7 is for exchange rates. That's what your explanation says.
Chair, we had the budget of 16 million, which is what was allocated in the beginning of the year by National Treasury. Now, when we received the invoices from these various international organizations, the prevailing exchange rate at that time, they could not allow us to pay within the 60 million. So in other words, there was an excess. Now, because we are paying different organizations, it's not one.
Don't use English. You see, here, you are saying to us, let's take a step back. You are giving 60 million. What was the actual cost of those? Because that's what I'm saying, police must be quite honest with us. I can deal with honesty. If you are saying to us, you are in the budget system, because I want to know how that exchange rate.
If I may say, I think if the committee look at what was allocated in the first financial year, we're still about 21 million, and that enables us to be able to pay the national fees. Now, because of the cuts that we had from 2012-13, 2013-14. Considering that the department can only negotiate from this point to that point with National Treasury in terms of what they allocate. So basically they were budget cuts. That led us to 16 million.
Because that's what I want to say in particular. If you look at the you've got your 1 million allocation, obviously with the interest rates of the community, you would have had to budget more than 21 million. Now, Treasury says to you, we are giving you only 16 million. The department did not go back to reprioritize what it needs to participate in internationally in terms of the allocated budget. You continued as if you still have the same amount. That's what it means to us. Because that's another thing, we need to be quite specific what we are saying to this committee. Colleagues, remember the process. Treasury is going to look at our report and our recommendations in what they allocate you. I hope you put that in mind.
Your assessment is correct. The budget went down, but the commitments remained. So in other words, and this is not something that has not really been discussed internally, because from a finance perspective, I think this issue has been raised to say that we do have a budget which is slightly less than what we are currently contributing. But then obviously, as a collective, we then need to take a view and say, how do you scale down? Already the drug proposal on the table to say, how should this membership be revised? Obviously, based on the importance of their work and their contribution to the department. So it's something that has to be done as a matter of agency so that we avoid a repeat, because we are currently seeing with almost a similar situation in the current financial year, which is now 2014-2015, with a slightly less budget, but you know, the cost is remaining at the same level, with also the exchange rate increasing. So on the issue of the consultants, I think it's important to indicate to the committee that there would have been expenditure incurred on projects that were not necessarily allocated for in the budget. One such project, there was an investigation that was conducted at the South African Post Office, which obviously had an impact on the budget of the department, and obviously that investigation is also what led to a further investigation in the form of ICU, since as a result. I think that's that.
Honourable Chairperson, with regard to the issue of the 112, the department has actually started a process which was towards the conclusion, I think, by towards the end of 2012, beginning of 2013. I think somebody should be able to talk to it where it was close to completion. Unfortunately, it happened at a time when I was on special leave, and some of you can talk to the person in terms of what happened.
I think there's some history, honorable chair, honorable members, to 112 projects. It's something that we have appeared before the committee several times to try and explain what really happened. I think this is just one of the projects that unfortunately could not take off. And as a result of it not being implemented by the Department for various reasons, which could be attributed to also changes of administration in the department internally. Better then decided to take away this money. We were paid to try and explain why we needed to keep this money, but why money should be needed to keep in the department. But at the same time, there was no case that we could put forward to say this is the plan, this is the concrete plan in terms of how our country is going to be implemented. I do agree, and I take the person's point, that this is a deflated project which needs to be implemented, but because Fender took away the money, of course we can't blame them. We also have to take responsibility because we could not really collectively take this project off the ground. So we are at that unfortunate point where even if we were to try and implement tomorrow, the money is already gone. We may have to then go back to the structure and knock again and explain why we need that money.
you talk about all those things currently. So for a person who needs help in this country, who do not have money, who will not be able to get it, but not in the state that was put on that education that it needs to be achieved. Maybe let me give you, are we done with responding or budget? So that.
Thank you. Chairperson, with regard to the issue around the leadership and development program, the department has done research in that area with the different programs that are available. The proposal is being made for the implementation of that in order to address the competencies, not just with the vacant posts, but also with in the leadership development area. With regards to the issue raised on the pre-screening, we are currently in a process of verification qualification with SAFA for existing employees and not just in the pre-screening phase. So that is currently being done. Signing of the performance agreement.
In terms of the personal government, we are waiting for you to come back on to the issue. The same case that submits reference to. You get the letters. Let's go to it. It's got a page. 120. Salary level 15. Only 6 SMS members the country has assigned to perform the work.
Sorry, there was 15.
You will say total number of 8 or funded post is 8. But you've got 6, 5, and 4 to not sign. What is the correct number? If you have 8, do you have 10 SMS members that are placed?
Chairperson, the total number at that level of post was 8. The total number sold at that time was 4 and 6. The total number signed was 4. So there were 2 outstanding at that level.
So there were 2 outstanding?
Yes.
At that level?
Yes.
This is DG level and DG level?
It's DG, yes.
And who are those?
Chairperson, I don't have the names of those 2 people currently. I can give it to you.
Action has been taken at that level as well?
Action has been taken for all employees that is not signed in the performance agreement in the 13-14 year.
And I'm going to ask the minister to respond in writing. Action that has been taken at this level. You can't have this level that you can still sign in the performance agreement. I need it in writing. The 7th of November. Who did not sign and what action has been taken? The minister must respond in writing to the committee.
Welcome if the minister could also respond when such disciplinary action was in fact taken. But Jefferson, then I just have a little bit of a concern. If I look at organizational structure, why?
I just have you on the performance management only. We can't get to the program.
Can I?
Sorry, I made a mistake. There's 2 levels, those 2 levels in your official list. Yes, I need a response interaction in the 7th of November. Let's proceed.
Thank you, Chair. With regards to the filling of the CFO position, the CFO position was filled in January of this year, in December actually of 2013. The CFO was still duty in January of 2014 and then resigned as of the end of March 2014. So It was a recommendation by the CFO chairperson.
Can I talk to you? I think that's open with the committee. Honorable chairperson, what we then discovered during appointed and the CFO was that there was a disciplinary matter that was underway where he was employed. I think it was coming from Northern Cape, which he did not disclose that. I know personally I was sitting in the interview. In terms of his CV, his CV said he was the CFO of a province in Northern Cape.
But at the time that we intervened, it turns out that there was a disciplinary matter of a matter where he had hired a car which was paid by the department, and the car was being used by his wife. And at the time when we were meeting him with the former minister, Karim, in his reference taking, he had, one of his referees, he was the HOD of the department, I think it was, I forgot that the department was, the HOD had disclosed the letter. The letter, the referencing was given to the HR unit in the department, and the acting chief director at the time did not disclose the letter to myself and the former minister. What he then did was he initiated disciplinary letter against the chief director, acting chief director at the time, who subsequently resigned when we started with the disciplinary matter. We then also approached the CFO, raised the letter with him, and we started an inquiry, because our view was that at the point when we were appointing him, he withheld information that was quite pertinent to us. I know that the former minister was quite angry that this matter happened under his watch, and he was kept on the road under my watch. This would never happen. And when we started the disciplinary matter, we had communicated our intention to the CFO and then resigned. So both of them should then resign.
Okay. For the explanation.
Okay. Thank you, Gigi. With regards to latencies for more than 12 months, if I can just add, the CFO then entered into an agreement with his former employer. So when we're actually, technically, when we're interviewing, he was not a CFO, he was demoted from the chief director as part of the ruling of the disciplinary matter, from chief director, or the CFO at chief director level, to director internal audit for the same department. With regards to vacancies on the system that have been vacant for more than 12 months, if a not clean up exercise has been done, what has happened is the department has identified those vacancies. There's also been vacancies on structure which have not necessarily been funded in the financial year. So with the personal cleanup, we have utilized those funding in order to prioritize the vacancies that needed to be funded in this year. So personal cleanup is done on an annual basis, and that will continue going forward. I think the other one was with regards to the additional to establishment. The components that were created, the first created additional to the establishment was to deal with two projects. One was the DTT project and the other was the e-skills, because they were programmed in the department. They were not made part of the default structure. That is how you got your add to establish that came about. Thank you.
Just one or two follow-ups, each one of us, just one follow-up, and then we need to move. I'm allowing intensive discussion with the department, because we've got to have the department as the right is to be able to assist within the entity. If the department is not where it's supposed to be, we're not able to achieve anything following from that. But let me just give other members an option, maybe the last one, number two.
Thank you, Sheila. I actually got two of my questions that were asked and haven't been answered. I'd like them answered, please. Was this employee settlement of 425,000 Rand and this legal claim of 800,000? What are those about, please?
Chairman, yes. Part of my concern with regard to the management of the department actually is now confirmed that because the DDG of ICT Information Society Development and Research, Ms. Reed, is responding to HR matters. And I was under the impression that HR would resort under the head of administration, which is Sandra
Garvey. Honorable Killian, this is Kirsty Gray. We did appoint DDG as administrator for, I think, started in December. But subsequently, I think a few months ago, she approached the minister that the Minister of Police required her services. Initially, I think the request was that we should second her to 12 months. My response to the minister is that looking at how long we've been struggling with stabilizing the department, we cannot afford to second the ADDG for such a lengthy period. That was our communication with the minister, and we were speaking to the Minister of Police. Subsequently, she then decided that she would then resign. She's currently now supporting the company, but there was an engagement between us and her.
Did
just to confirm, we actually have the head of HR respond to all the questions. Thank you very much.
The issue of our capacity is really within us. When we just paid 126 and the other women's reward, there's no information as to why the pool was awarded, you know, the supporting motivation. And also, it is not clear as to whether there's a performance evaluation that took place quarterly or whatever time. But we do have this, you know, this information about people who have been awarded for good performance. We don't even have a report sheet which is actually informed by that performance evaluation. And take into consideration that when we, you know, at the time to plant the selection, we don't spend a lot of money as the department and department in general actually when it comes to recruitment. That's why we are going to have this information in page 142. There must have been about the leadership. That some of the greater concerns over time over compliance with laws and regulations and other financial reporting. Because people are incompetent. There's a difference between the qualification and incompetent. And we realize this at the end of the year when we are reporting, but if there was a brutal session of the evaluation, I think that would have been dealt with finally before we come with the first grade item.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Chairperson. I'm not running away. I'm sure that you can't wait before we disappear from this stage. With regard to the written response that you have asked for, we have noted that the department is here, they will pull out factual information and we will be able to come back to the committee through the chair as soon as possible. Chairperson, there was one issue which I thought we need to talk to, which was raised by both Honorable Sojensi and Honorable Longini, the issue of rural communities. And Chairperson, I really want to assure you that in this sector we are in, the department is overhearing, penetration of our technologies to rural areas is critical for e-government. We fully agree with the committee. We hope with the next plan you will be able to see an integrated and a coordinated approach whereby it's a cross-cutting issue throughout, not something which is isolated when it comes to communicating digital migration or whatever, but it's a cross-cutting issue. E-government needs to go wherever. Clearly needs to see it go beyond the golden cities but to the rural areas of our major cities. Chairperson, I think DG Udilaga still has to talk about this thing of the settlements,
Chair, on the issue that was raised by Honorable Sheen on the trade center department, the 800,000, there were various matters, legal matters that were handled during the year under review. Some handled by external lawyers, some have been issues that were dealt with by the ethics committee at the time. So it's a combination of bits and pieces of various matters that the department had to honor. But what we can do, just has to put the committee is we can give a breakdown of the details of each and every matter and the amount associated with those matters and the description so that the committee has a fair appreciation of the details of those matters.
I understand there are some legal issues throughout the year, but there's one of them is 804,000 rand. Can you not, at the top of your head, tell us who's actually trying to sue you for 804,000 rand? I mean, that'll keep me away from that.
Well, Honorable Chair, I think I will not be starting to call the details of all the legal matters, but I think Kelly will be able to submit to the committee. Because there is a resident department of all the matters. What is actually reflected here, the committee is not necessarily the report, not necessarily the entire story in terms of the legal matters and contingent liabilities that we have to deal with.
For example, you still have issues like the SABC loans and stuff that have to be dealt with, the one that touches on PIC. So we can give a whole list of all the matters, including the description, so that the committee can begin to see the exposure that the department is currently sitting in.
The matter of the settlement?
On the settlement, Honorable Chair, I would request the head of HR just to deal with that.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, I think we will indicate the details in writing to the committee. I also cannot give you the full details of who the person was and what it was for, but I can communicate that to you.
You know, colleagues, that we have a meeting on report on Friday. And this is the research we want us to refresh you on. Because if all the things you don't have them, but they are reflected in your report, it's a problem. You don't know who you settle to. GM, speaking.
No, Chairperson, I really think it's important to be accurate, to take the records and revert back to the chair as a matter of agent.
Can I have the question? Because this is a financial figure. We need to comment on it. See, the other one of the performance I can deal with it later. But we are making a report on Friday. I'm tabling this report to the committee and it must be published.
Chairperson.
Otherwise, we might call for issue to be recovered. No, because if it's not explained here that authority to maintain, you recover that money.
Chairperson, the DG has assured me that we can get that information by the close before midnight. Close the day tomorrow. Yeah, so definitely we'll get that. With regard to oversight, there was also a question raised. I think it's Honorable Domain in terms of saying it was office collapse, so what happened, where was the oversight? I think it came up from quite a number of honorable members at our level between myself and the minister. Once we sign the agreement, Chairperson will account to the committee as to how we've divided work. We will also do the same with the SOEs that we are overseeing. We will, beyond a unit in the department, we will share that responsibility. Thank you so much.
I appreciate that, Minister, but we are saying the people who are paid to do this work. Because it has to be flagged somewhere. I think that's the same thing. Why we appreciate what you are saying? But if in, and my issue for example, and I think we have an, we have an opportunity later, because we are going to deal with those residents early next year. And we're going to have to be very clear what we want to achieve. But I'll come to those issues. But that's the thing. Why we appreciate what you are saying, Minister, in terms of, but what we are looking at now, we are looking at this financial, and you are not like all of us, we are taking this responsibility to say there was work, and we appreciate that going forward, there is a set of work. But it can be at the level of the executive authority only. The functioning of the department in terms of SOE oversight is very important, because you've got to be able, it's my post office tomorrow, who is next? Because if we do not tighten up that level, you can have things falling into the cracks. That's what you are raising. So you allow.
Thank you. Just in response to the issue raised on the performance agreements and the performance bonuses, I can confirm that the assessments were done for the 13-14. In other words, all the performance reports went through the assessment board, and it was only the bonuses that paid for the non-SMF cater. So the process as per policy was followed with regards to the 13-14 non-SMF bonuses.
I think let's end show with the department. Definitely BMNGT, our approach is to be able to be thorough in the work that we do so that we can assist in closing the gap. What I'm going to appeal is all the sentiments I've made. Go and look at the statement. When you submit the statement, I can assume you need to be very specific and clear in what you want to achieve. Because if you are not, we always have this challenge of what you experience today. And the second issue is the Auditor General report related to Parliament. The chapter 9 implication that does work is about general democracy. And the issue of what the AG raises are very important. And it's a reflection for us to be able to figure out the department, because at times we do not have the details, the time to go into difficulties. We rely on the AG's office to be able to do some of this work, to verify what you're saying, to verify your reports, to verify things. I'm really hoping that come this time next year, we'll have a different picture. And I believe that we have the ability to have a different picture. We have to make sure that things are different. We can't appear before Parliament and explain the same matter every time. We have been called by Judge Chatterson, by the Speaker, because the AG is raising concerns that the Department do not listen to what they are raising. And as Parliament, we are not overseeing that work. So we've got to really try and improve in this area. So we have that opportunity. Come next year, DG, if the structure is not clear, we're not accurate, I can assure you. And we've got to start working now. But we've got to be able to do that. One of the things, we have a duty to South Africans to deliver services. The industry depends on this department going forward to be able to plan the economy. We are actually contributing towards building the economy of South Africa and telecommunications and postal services. We are actually to try to contribute in terms of policy direction to ensure that there is job creation. But we can do if we are very clear in what we want to do and we deliver upon what we want. That's why I'm very specific in terms of performance agreements. They have to be signed at the right time. If they're not signed, consequences must happen. That's the law. Adherence to policies, adherence to the law, adherence to the regulations is very important. I will not sit here and applaud any entity or department when there's a reflection of non-adherence to the law. Otherwise, I'll be failing my constitutional application. So we've got to get right. Can also anything not on adherence to the law, not here. That's the message, and I hope that when we come back, that we will trust with each other, which is what is necessary and what is important. Thank you very much to the team. And you know, members, it took a bit long because for me, the department is the center for all our work and what needs to happen. With that, we'll wait for the response on the two issues, one on the amount, those two, the settlement and the legal fees, then the other one is on from the minister in terms of the performance agreements and the action taken. I hope that check is ready. And unfortunately, Santec have not sent me formally a list of delegates, but I know the chairperson is here, CEO. Do you want to take 5 minutes? Come back, please. Okay, let's take 5 minutes. I don't see the presentation report. I just received the Santec's list.